Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Jesus was. You know, we're soldiers for Christ, brothers and sisters. And so oftentimes, the Christian community, I may say, or the religious people forget that they are in a warfare. And if you don't realize that you're in a warfare, then that puts you in a place, even though you are, if you don't realize that, it puts you in a place that you've got a door open for every wile and every snare of the enemy. And sometimes it doesn't seem like a warfare to some. And the reason it doesn't, because they're in captivity by Satan. And they're really not in a war. They've already been captured. They're like a prisoner of war. They've already been captured, and they're bound up. They're not a threat to the kingdom of Satan because they're not out there pursuing and taking the land. So they really don't reckon to be in a warfare. Some people just kind of go through life, and if they don't threaten the kingdom of Satan, they don't feel like they're in a warfare. You know, because they're just going on through life, you know, hey, praise God, you know, Jesus died for me, hallelujah, God is so good. But they're not taking the ground. You know, we're commanded, you know, to take the kingdom. The Bible says we have to press our way into the kingdom of God. And, you know, when we start taking ground is when we're in a warfare. If I was over here as a, say, if I was a president of this country or of another country or whatever, and I kept just talking, saying, boy, I'll tell you what, I'm going to take that land. Well, I'll tell you what, that other country over there, I'm going to go move in there by force, and I'm going to take that country, and I'm going to do this. As long as I'm talking, it's really nothing. But the day that I take troops with me and I go across the land or the sea or whatever it takes to get to that other land and cross that border, then I become a threat to that nation. And then all of a sudden, there's going to be warfare. While I was over talking about it, there's really no warfare. But when I hit their borders and cross into their soil, now there's a war. They're going to do everything they can to protect theirs. You know, when we think of the spiritual warfares of life, there's many times that people haven't entered into that because they're not threatening the kingdom of Satan whatsoever at all. The Bible teaches that the kingdoms of this world, they have to become the kingdoms of our God and His Christ. And I've taught on that. And I take it outside of the substance of soil outside the door here and think of this world and the world order and the government of this world. And I bring that into an understanding of the kingdom of God, you being the kingdom of God. And then there's the outer part of iniquity, your fleshly part. You have to rend the veil between the Lord and the Christ and make yourself twain. But your first part that was born after the Adamic nature of Adam, you have to take that land away from him. You got to let the inner quickening of the Spirit of God, the Christ, overtake and overpower the outer garment of iniquity and say, hey, this is the Lord's. You see, there is the real pursuit right there. That is where the real travail and the real warfare comes in, right there. Otherwise, Satan is just going to take the flesh because it's his anyway. You were born after the Adamic nature of the first man, Adam, after that fallen image. And if you're not trying to take that away from him, then you're not in a travail or a warfare. I want you to go again to Matthew, the fourth chapter. We'll read some scripture. And then if the Lord will allow him to expound on some things that maybe we could learn a little bit about some spiritual warfare this morning. Matthew 4, the first verse says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Sometimes we find ourselves, I'm going to save this before I read any farther. Sometimes we find ourselves in a place being tempted, or find ourselves, you know, in face to face, maybe we could say, with our adversary or with the devil. And we think, my, you know, I must be out of the will of God here. Man, I must be carnal minded, or I must be this, or I must not be in the mind of God, because I wouldn't be facing this enemy if I was. But if we find here that Jesus was led by the Spirit, many times the Lord is going to lead us into this place. You have to be more than a conqueror. The Bible says that we are more than conquerors. Now, this is a spoken word by the Spirit of God to each and every one of us, but we have to manifest being more than a conqueror. You know, many times we could take by faith and receive the Word of God and say, you know, by faith, I believe that I'm a conqueror. Praise God. Well, if you take that by faith, it is going to be some works that is going to be made manifest within that faith. There is going to be some works made manifest in that to show that you are more than a conqueror. If you're more than a conqueror, what have you conquered? Now, I know that death has been conquered. Hell's been conquered. The grave's been conquered. Sin's been conquered. And the thing is we know this is all done by the works of the Lord Jesus Christ, but He has given us His Spirit, given us His power, that we are more than conquerors. Amen. Bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh and one with Him. Back to verse 1, it says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Let me ask you this morning, how many times has God tempted you the same way? If you are who you say that you are, if you are truly born again as you think that you are, if you really did say that sinner's prayer, if you really have received the infilling of God's Spirit, if you have this, then why don't you this? You see, and many times, just as when Jesus was hanging on the cross of Calvary, he said, If you are who you say that you are, come down from there. Heal thyself. Bring yourself off that cross, if you're who you are. So oftentimes, brothers and sisters, you see, Satan is going to move and try to move you, even using and quoting the Word of God Himself. He's going to take and speak the Word. You've heard me say so oftentimes when it comes to a matter of discerning the mind of God or the Spirit of God, so many times Satan, he'll speak God's Word to you, and then you think you have the Word of God to do what you have to do. And this is why we have to be very cautious and very careful to how we listen, what spirit is of. A sheep knows his voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Now the thing is, when we think of strange spirits or familiar spirits or similar spirits or evil spirits, these are going to speak. And so oftentimes, the mistake that we make when we're coming to try to understand the mind of God and walking and led by the Spirit of God, the mistake that we often make so oftentimes is that we think if we hear God's Word, it's God speaking it. And so oftentimes, I was in a church service over in the areas of Missouri, and the man considered himself a prophet. And he stood behind the sacred desk of this church and called me out. Now see, somebody say, well, there's a word from a prophet, a spoken word. And he told me I was supposed to be a youth pastor in another man's church. You see, and you think, man, I've heard from the voice of God this morning. Praise God. And I was seeking the Lord to find direction in my life because I was breaking fellowship with the church because of immorality within the headship of the church. And I'd broken fellowship with the church and I was in search. But then all of a sudden, this man comes up and he gives me what would be, Thus saith the Lord. I can tell you this, that there's many Christians, more Christians in air today, and more Christians walking in the Pentecostal realms in air and in doctrines of devils because they yielded to Thus saith the Lord that came forth from a vocal utterance from a man or a woman. And they've led them into despair. They've led them into willful sin and led them into disobedience from God. And when they start surrendering to these kind of spirits, then they are led, not by the Spirit of God, but they're led by similar or a familiar spirit. Now, the Bible says to despise not prophecy. And I can, as a confession to you, there was a point in my walk with God that I despised prophecy. And the Lord dealt with me about that. And I had to seek the Lord with a repentance. And the thing is that I had a man prophesying over me one time, and I resisted it, and I locked up to it, and it was the Lord. Because I despised prophecy so much because I seen so much flesh in it, and so much of the mind of religion and the mind of people instead of being God speaking. And God rebuked me as the man was speaking and said, Don't resist when I speak. And then I opened up and was listening. And then by discernment of the Spirit of God, then the man, after he finished saying what the Spirit of God had gave him to say, then he went into the flesh and was speaking then a word to me by his flesh. And you think, well, you know, you would have maybe a scripture come to mind that, well, you can't have clean water, you know, and bitter water, or sweet water and bitter water coming forth from the same well. Now, there's a revelation in that scripture, but it doesn't apply to what I just said. Now, if we go over back to the scriptures that I read to you just the other evening about Peter, and the Lord comes up and he says, Who does men say that I am? And Peter went on to say, Thou art the Christ, the living Son of God. The Lord commended him in such a way, he said, This was not revealed to you by man. This was not revealed to you by flesh or blood. This was revealed to you by the Spirit. So we know that Peter had a contact with the Spirit, and the Spirit spoke forth out of him with an utterance that changed the whole course of the Lord Jesus Christ's life. Jesus knew that it was fulfilled. What he came to do was to bring the revealing of God in the earth. God with man. Jesus is God. And when he came into the earth, he came as a man. But then it was the fullness of the Godhead dwelling within the man. And when he knew that the Spirit had manifested itself in the personification of the Lord Jesus Christ, then he knew that he had fulfilled what he came to do. But then yet, I'm talking moments, right in the same passage of scriptures, right within the lines of the same chapter, The Lord Jesus, when he knew that it fulfilled what he came to do, that man knew who he was, then the Lord Jesus turned around and said, look, you know, I must go to the cross now. I must be crucified. I'll be resurrected the third day witness. And Peter spoke up and said, God forbid, this is not going to happen to you. And Jesus turned to him and said, get ye behind me, Satan. Now the thing is that was the same man, but Satan spoke through him. The very same man, the one who got out of the boat and walked on water. It was the one that preached the first message on the day of Pentecost. The very one that preached the first message. The man that stood at the gate called Beautiful and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, rise up. Strength came to the man's ankle bones, and he stood up, a man that had never walked. Here we're talking about this great man of God. The Catholic Church says this is the first pope. We're talking about a great man of God now, but Jesus looked at him and said, get you behind me, Satan. So now, when we go to understanding, you see, a man could come to you with words that are the words of God, the Spirit. And he could say, you know, brother, I was in prayer. Could stand up in a church service and find the proper time to be in order in the house of God and prophesy. And prophesy absolutely 100% the mind of God by the Spirit of God and speaking things to come and things that will come to pass. So then we think, this man is a prophet of God. When he speaks, it's God speaking. And the next time he's in a church service, he's been lukewarm, lackadaisical, lascivious, we might say, and he's given place to the mind of Satan. Many times, if you could discern the mind that's speaking things forth, many times it's not even Satan, and many times it's not God, it's the desire of that man. I've witnessed things in the Pentecostal realms over the years, brothers and sisters, that people, when you'd say, thus saith the Lord, they would submit and listen. And sometimes people didn't live the kind of life themselves that would demand the submission, we might say, to one another. And the brotherhood or the church wouldn't really grant him what he felt he was in need or deserved. Sometimes a man's puffed up in his own fleshly mind, his own thoughts, and thinks he's really some great thing in God. And he thinks when he speaks that everybody's just supposed to submit and listen. People will do that when it is the Spirit of the Lord speaking. But many times people think, and they bring it to themselves, and they think that their words are so great. And then they find that people are not submitting to that or listening to that. And then what they would do is they would be taken to get the captivity, we might say, of the congregation. They'll say, thus saith the Lord. I've witnessed this, brothers and sisters, many times. Now I'm bringing this thing out into a perspective of, you know, we got to be careful. If a man says that he's a prophet, or if a man prophesies, thus saith the Lord, we got to learn to discern the Spirit and see if it's of God. But if we want to get down to the revelation of what I'm saying here, we've got to discern the thoughts that are coming within our own mind. We got to discern when we say, you know, I felt like the Lord spoke to me and told me to go to this church. I felt like the Lord told me to go and send some finances over here. I felt like the Lord told me to go help this brother or this minister over here. And believe me, brothers and sisters, ministers can be very persuasive. They can be very persuasive that they are in the move of God and that they're doing the will of God and they're walking in the Spirit of God. They'll take your life, they'll take your finances and take everything. And if they are following the Spirit of God, then you need to give your life, you need to give your substance, you need to give everything you got. But if they're not being led by the Spirit of God and not following after the Spirit of God, then you find yourself being robbed. You find yourself being cheated. And you find yourself being molested, spiritually speaking. So we have to learn, again, a very important thing, to find the mind of the Spirit of God. That's the most important thing as a Christian that we can do. There isn't anything more important to a Christian than hearing the Spirit of the Word. If we're going to be led by the Spirit, then we've got to hear. You remember, as I say so oft times, as the scriptures say, though you have eyes to see, you do not see. Though you have ears to hear, you do not hear. And the thing is when we think of this, you know, we've got to people, we're looking and listening to the Lord, and he spoke this. And they could be sitting there in a mind like, what do you mean I don't have eyes? See, I'm looking at you. What do you mean I don't have ears to hear? I could hear everything that you're saying. But did they hear? Did they truly hear? You see, and when you get into the mind of the Spirit, we have to come and learn to listen in the Spirit. We have to learn to listen to see in the Spirit. If you remember a few days back in a message that I ministered, I said, learn to look into the invisible. Now see, to a natural carnal mind, that'll never make any sense. I said, look and follow and watch the invisible. Don't watch what you see. Don't watch what's appearing. Look to see in the invisible realm. Then you'll find yourself being led by the Spirit of God. If you could learn to do that. Now the thing is, as I say so oftentimes, and the reason I use the Pentecostal realms as an example, because it's supposed to be the cream of the crop. You know, when you say Pentecost, you believe in the Pentecostal experience, you believe in the outpouring of God's Spirit in the earth, you believe in the infilling of the power of God, you believe in the utterances of the gifts of God, if it's a word of knowledge or if it's a word of wisdom, if it's going to be a prophecy or a tongue or interpretation of a tongue. You see, or discernment. This is what we expect out of the Pentecostal realms. They are standing before the people, say, hey, you know, I believe in these gifts. I believe they're for today, this and that. So when I speak about the Pentecostal churches, what I'm saying is that we have great expectations of them to be the leaders of the move of God in the earth. And then I find so much foolishness of familiar spirits, antichrist spirit, and many things throughout the Pentecostal realm. So when I speak like that, it's not speaking against the church of the living God or of the Lord Jesus Christ, but of the religious order of this day and hour where Satan has climbed up into the upper lintel and Satan has set himself up as God. You know, see, that's the abomination of desolation, when Satan comes into the temple declaring himself to be God. Now, if I stand behind the sacred desk and I say it's no longer me speaking, but it's Christ speaking, and it's me speaking out of carnality of human reason, that's the abomination of desolation right there. And the thing is, you know, in my first birth as swine, when it talks about the swine returning to the mire or the dog to its vomit, you see a man of God. You know, you say a man of God, he could be back there, but he returns to human reason, to carnality, and it's that swine. And that's that abomination of desolation where that pig brings himself into the house of God declaring to be God. You see, so it has to do with spirits. Amen. So we have to learn to discern and to watch things by the Spirit of God. Amen. Let me read on just a little bit more. Let me read 4 again and then we'll go on down just a little bit because there's some other scriptures I'd like to go to. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Basically the same thing he told him when he was hanging on the cross of Calvary right there. So you see, this is what I was saying to you the other night. You see, there's these spirits. When you learn to discern spirits, you might find it through another personality, another man, another woman might be, but you'll recognize the spirit of the devil. He's not hard to recognize. Once you learn that he's the same, you know, we talk about our God being the same today, yesterday, and forever. The devil's the same way. He came to kill, steal, and destroy. You know, and so oftentimes we make the mistakes of thinking that the devil's not going to speak through somebody we love. We think we make that mistake more than anything. Oh, but this person I know is a Christian. Or I know that this person got saved. Well, I heard this person speak in tongues. You know, I seen this guy doing great exploits for the Lord. Boy, I heard a great message come out of his mouth. You know, man, I heard some really things. But brothers and sisters, we have to be led by the Spirit and find out what is speaking within a man or within a woman or within whatever we're at if we're led by the Spirit. We got to find out what spirit they are of. And just because a man is doing great exploits today, just as Peter, he evidently had to have been sensitive to the Spirit of God to speak. He was the first one to speak who Jesus was. He was the first one to receive the revelation of who Jesus was, but then yet turned around and got rebuked and called Satan. Now the thing is if I could think like that, this is the way I deal with my wife. This is the way I deal with my children. This is the way I deal with my family. This is the way I deal with everybody. You see, brothers and sisters, you could be led by the Spirit today and could come up and say, man, you know, Brother Rob, I was praying, you know, I'd been fasting or whatever, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me thus, you know, and I think, wow, praise God. Let's do something. You see, but many times people aren't led by the Spirit, and if we jump in and move on every whim or whatever that somebody has, man, we'll find ourselves so busy and we won't be doing anything for God. This is what happens with many ministers. You know, they get the phone calls and the things. Well, there's a brother over in the hospital, a sister over in the hospital, an aunt over in the hospital, or somebody over here and somebody over there. And this minister, you know, because of this call and this call and this call and this call, he's here, and there. And boy, he's given his life to the gospel. He's given his life to the congregation. He's given his life to the people. You think, how commendable. And it is a commendable act for a minister to make himself available to those things. But the minister is supposed to be available to God. He's supposed to be listening to the Spirit of God. And he's supposed to be in tune with the Spirit of God and go where the Lord would speak him to go. Because sometimes the people may not have considered. Maybe they hadn't been in prayer. Maybe they didn't know of the trap that was laid there. Or maybe the reason the Lord doesn't want you to go is to bring that individual, maybe while he's laying in the hospital bed or in the jailhouse, to a point of repentance that he could make changes in his life. Sometimes we're too quick to move, and sometimes we don't move quick enough. What makes us right on time? Being led by the Spirit of God. And this is what we're speaking about this morning, to be led by the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to see in the Spirit, to listen in the Spirit. This is a spiritual life. You see, and when we learn to do this, we're learned to rending the veil. There's a very active spirit world all around about you. The Bible says we're encamped by a great cloud of witnesses. There's an active spirit world, and if you could have your eyes quickened for just a moment to see into the spirit world, you'll see that the spirit world is more active than the world that you are in, of where you see. Now, if you remember the other evening when we had a question come forth about ghosts and spirits and these things of such, if I could sum up that message in just a couple of words, not to go in that direction, I could say that the direction towards the message was, you don't have to be busy looking around for the curtains to move in your home or the door to slam or for the squeaky board in the attic to say that there's ghosts around. If you're looking for that or waiting on that, you're going to be just in a tailspin, so to speak. You're just going to be in a whirlwind and you're really not going to get nowhere. But the thing is when we are looking to see these spirits, we look to where they're manifesting at. You see, Jesus, if we go back to what we said about Peter there, you see, there was an invisible spirit of the Father, God, that came and dwelled within Jesus, the personification, something that could be seen with eyes. And it was necessary for the Son of God to come and manifest himself in a human form that we could see the invisible attributes of the Spirit, the Father, no man has seen invisible. So we found it necessary for God to personify himself in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we could see and understand God. He's the firstborn of many brethren. That's the way we see and perceive and understand God. Now the thing is when we want to understand spirits, brothers and sisters, and I tell you to look into the invisible, but many times the invisible is manifesting in what is visible. If you go over to Romans, it says, speaking about understanding the Godhead, it says the things of the invisible things. It says looking on those to appear. On the things which we see and the things that do appear, we can understand the invisible things and even understand the Godhead is what it says. Paraphrasing a little bit, you can go over there and read it for yourself. Romans, the first chapter. So then, again, is what I was saying, the thrust of that message was why people are out trying to make the spiritual realm into some kind of a mystic thing. They're missing the manifestation of the invisible spirits within humanity. When you hear a minister preach a message, the Bible said it's no longer him speaking, but God speaking through him if he's spirit-led. But then yet on the other hand, it could be a man that comes in out of human reasoning, out of much study of the Scripture, and he got in the Bible, and he got his concordance, and he went all over the Bible, and he put down this little thing. And then you've got, this isn't spirit-led message. You see, that's man speaking. How many times that would be words the Bible says, let the woman keep silent in the church. That's the woman in her much learning, even though it's a man speaking. You see, and it's in her much learning, and they'll come and teach. But see, there's a difference of a spirit-led message and one that's just teaching. The Bible says that the minister is apt to teach, and they should be able to teach. But the first thing he needs to be apt of is be spirit-led. Even the deacons, the disciples, the commandment for a deacon and a servant of the Lord was to be spirit-filled. A man full of the Holy Ghost. And when a man is full of the Holy Ghost, he's led by the Spirit when he's full of the Holy Ghost. Trying to understand spirits and how they speak and where they speak. Trying to find how to discern the voice of God. So oftentimes I read a scripture to you out of 1 John, the 4th chapter. And it said, try the Spirit and see if it be of God. Now the thing is, as Christians, we have to learn to differentiate that word right there and understand it. And so oftentimes we apply it in such a way. Well, I ran into old Brother Rob today, you know, and you know, I had to try the Spirit and see if it was God speaking through him today. You know, he asked me to do an exploit, or, you know, and I had to see if that was really God. See, that's not improper, brothers and sisters. That wouldn't be an improper thing to do, to try the Spirit. But if that's the depth of that message that you would get out of that, Well, I was working with such and such today over there, this, that, and he wanted to talk about the Lord, but I had to try the Spirit and see if it was of God. And that would be much wisdom to do. Brothers and sisters, as my statement just a few moments ago was that the mass majority of religious people are being led by other familiar spirits, not by the Spirit of God. They should learn to try the Spirit. Just as I said, I was in a church, the man said, I'm supposed to be a youth pastor in another church. And I thought, well, Lord, if you spoke this to this man of God, surely you're going to speak it to me also. But see, the Lord had already dealt with me to depart from that church from the iniquity in it and the immorality that had been in the headship of the pastor. And now here's another man saying this because he's in fellowship with that man. So it's going to say, thus saith the Lord to me, because he's in fellowship with him because that's his friend. And his friend needed help in that particular aspect of the ministry. So, you know, many times ministers are loose with thus saith the Lord. It's because, man, I could see this could be a good thing. You know, that must be God. I could see that this guy's got the ability. This man's capable. This must be the Lord. And they'll say, thus saith the Lord. You're supposed to do this and you're supposed to do that. You see, but we don't reason out thus saith the Lord. Many times thus saith the Lord is something that hurts. Something that is a sword. His word is sword and spirit. You see, woe unto him that holds back the sword from blood. Many times thus saith the Lord is bringing forth bloodshed. Sometimes it's bringing forth separation from God. Sometimes it's bringing forth damnation and destruction. If you think the mind of God and the speaking of his word is always, you know, oh, well done, thy good and faithful servant, come in. You don't understand the voice and the speaking of the Lord. A natural father that is a true father, he is a father that loves and he's a father that chastens. He's a father that disciplines as a child. You had to understand your father in wrath or you'd have to understand him in discipline. And if you don't understand, thus saith the Lord, in chastening and discipline, then you've never heard the voice of your father. And you're a bastard child according to the word. Because the Bible says that he chastens them that he loves. So if you've learned to hear the voice of God, you've heard the chastening of a living God. And I'll tell you, I probably hear that more than I do the other things. And you say, surely not, Brother Rob, surely so. We're talking about a continued warfare. Let's go back to a militant perspective for a moment. And you say, oh boy, you know, I'm a soldier, man, in this army, man. I've been promoted up. I'm a sergeant. Boy, and every time I see the general, he says, boy, you're a fine soldier. Man, you're looking good. I like the way you got your uniform pressed. Man, your shoes are shined up real good. Man, you're the extreme example of a soldier. Some of you been in the military. How many of you remember days like that? No, they usually, if you was everything was right in T in order, you probably didn't hear nothing. But when that shoe wasn't shined or that tie wasn't tied right or that bed wasn't tied enough, you heard something. You see, there was a chastening and an order that came forth. We're good soldiers for Christ, keeping ourselves unspotted from the affairs of the world. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you, the commander in chief is keeping order within our life. I'm speaking of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's speaking to us. So oftentimes, brothers and sisters, when we find voices speaking to us, I made this statement the other evening, when you say voices, people go into the realms of schizophrenia. Boy, I'll tell you what, I'm sitting in a church this morning, this preacher's got voices in his head, I'm going to run from this place. But then yet we've got to stay with the Word of God. If the Bible says try the Spirit, it could have said try the thoughts. And see if they would be of God. It would have been the same thing, brothers and sisters. Spirits project themselves to you as thoughts. Spirits are going to come and speak to you in thought. They're going to try to puff you up in your mind. They're going to try to make you think you're somebody when you're a nobody. They're going to try to get you to do things that you normally would not do or want to do. This is the realms of the Spirit. And you say, well, what spirit are you speaking of? Well, let me tell you, the Spirit of Christ, it speaks to me and has me do things that I don't want to do on a continuous basis because I'm not my own. How many of you have been in the military and says, hey, I want you to go over there and you're a commanding officer. I want you to take a platoon of men. I want you to go over there and take that mountain. I want you to take that hill. Boy, that doesn't sound like a very easy task. I know there's going to be bloodshed. I know you're going to lose some going over there, but that's what they had to do. Let me tell you, I'm in subjection to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, brothers and sisters. And everything that he asks me to do isn't, you know, whoopee, hallelujah. You see, if you're living that kind of a religion and walking in that kind of religion, you're not serving the living God. If he says to give your life as a living sacrifice, first and utmost, you're going to know what sacrifice is. If he says mortify the deeds that would be of the flesh, then you know there's something being killed out. And anytime something's being killed, there's some pain there involved. Some fear and all kinds of human emotions come in that. If we're going to have to take up our cross daily, that means there's a daily crucifixion. You see, brothers and sisters, we have to learn what being led by the Spirit is. And, you know, I would never want to discourage somebody young in the Lord from learning to walk in the Spirit, making it sound like it's all just, you know, warfare and travail and bloodshed. But they're going to have to learn that before they could be a soldier. You know, they take a man off the streets and put him in a boot camp. They make him scrub through the mud. They make him go under wire fences. They shoot bullets over his head. They drop him out of towers. They do all kinds of things to equip him and make him. You see, the disciples for Christ. You see, that's a word there, disciple. Comes from discipline. Jesus disciplined them into a order of walking in the Spirit. When Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, but just couldn't you even just pray with me for 1 hour? He was trying to discipline them into a sacrificial life and into a life of obedience with God. Now, you see, brothers and sisters, when we start discerning spirits, there is a religious spirit that has taken the land of America. You see, when we've got to try the Spirit, America's religious. But we're not looking for religion, brothers and sisters. We're looking for Spirit-led lives. The Catholics are religion. The Mormons are religion. You understand that? And we know that they're in error. And if we go into many of our Protestant realms, we know that there's much error within them. That's a religion. We're not looking for religion. The Bible said true and undefiled religion is such as taking care of the widows and orphans and keeping yourself unspotted from the world. So there is a religion that we are looking for when we use that term in that perspective. But when we talk about the denominational works of America or throughout the world, there's many of them that because they use the name Jesus, that they're not walking in the Spirit of God. Just because they use the right name. The seven sons of Sceva used the right name. They said, I adjure ye Satan in the name of Jesus. And hey, Paul I know and Jesus I know, but who are you? There's many churches that are using the right name. The Catholic Church is using the name Jesus, but he's nowhere in the camp. Ichabod was put over the door. The Spirit does not dwell there. That doesn't mean there couldn't be an elect of God in the Catholic Church. It doesn't mean that there might be a saint there within the realms of the Catholic Church that would come out. But let me tell you something. If you're a son of God or a child of God in the Catholic Church, you will come out of amongst it. And you'll be a separate people because it's doctrines of devils there. You see, we're talking about being Spirit-led. What spirit are they led of? If we're going to use Catholic as an example, which I can go into many denominational works. And even though we find a work and we can say Church of God or whatever, or Methodist or Baptist or whatever, we say, hey man, there's a preacher over there. He's full of the Spirit of God. He's got that name over there. Door doesn't mean the one next door has the Spirit of God in it. That was one of the mistakes I made. I gave my life to the Lord in Assembly of God Church, which is their doctrine I can't walk with now. There's error in their doctrine. But I gave my life to that, and I found the Spirit of the Lord moving in that church. And when I'd relocate and move into another town, I wasn't Spirit-led. I just looked in the phone book and found the name of that church. That's what I was. Boy, this is the one that's right. This is the one that's correct. I know that this is where I found God. But you see, brothers and sisters, the thing is even though I found God there, I found the Spirit that leads me into all truth. And the same Spirit I found there led me away from there. He wasn't leading me to be an Assembly of God. He was leading me to be Spirit-led. So oftentimes we find ourselves sitting in churches and continuing to stay in churches because grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles founded it and built it, or fathers, and we stay in a church and the Spirit is gone. Oh, but this is my church, this is my home church, this and that. And then it just becomes a religious institution. And sometimes we could just say playing church. We have to find the leading of the Spirit of God. And we got to be led by the Spirit of God. Now back to the scripture. Again, where it says, try the Spirit and see if it be of God. Many times we, as men, will hear a spirit speak and it sounds desirable to our flesh. So it's easy to say, man, this is God. And that's a gross mistake. Many times we think that, boy, it's something I would like to do. You know, as a preacher, I've told preachers this. I said, you know, if you're seeking to go out and preach the gospel, you're going to have 10 doors opened up to you by the devil to every one that God would open up. Oh, but you know, this must be the Lord. You know, they gave me an invitation over here in such and such church to preach. Oh man, you know, and I've got this burning in my bones. I've got to preach or I'm just going to burn up. So man, here I go, man. I'm led by the Spirit of God. And many times Satan will have this man on a run. The Bible said they're like a man running and beating at the air. And they're not led by the Spirit of God, but they're preaching the gospel, Brother Rob. I saw people crying in the altars. I felt the Spirit of God. That's in every service. The rain comes on the just and the unjust. Just because the rain of God is there doesn't justify the man's spirit led to be where he's supposed to be. I'm going to make a statement that I've made in times past. And this, sometimes, you know, I say things and it's just go right over on the edge of thinking like, man, this guy's out of his mind. And I need to be out of my mind and be in his mind. But I could be at home. I could say, okay, tomorrow I'm going to stay home and I'm going to pray all day long. I'm going to fast. I'm not going to eat nothing. Tuesday I'm going to do the same thing. Wednesday I'm going to do the same thing. Man, 3 days, man, just nothing but praying, reading my Bible and fasting and be nothing but in the will of the devil and miss the Lord altogether. And you think, well, Brother Rob, you know, you're praying, you're fasting, man. You know, you got it. That's doing something for the Lord. You know, you're putting down your old flesh, man, from eating and you're doing this, But you see, if that is not the move of the Spirit of God for me, he might have said to me, he goes, Monday, I want you to go down there to Monroe, Georgia, or to Eden, North Carolina, or to Knoxville, Tennessee. I want you over there Monday. I want you at this guy's door. I want you knocking on his door. And I want you to tell him, thus saith the Lord. And this is what I want you to tell him. But Lord, man, that's harsh. But Lord, that's strong. Hey, I love him. He's my friend. I tell him that he's going to break fellowship with me. He's not going to want anything to do with me. He's going to hate me. But see, he didn't ask me all them questions. You ever seen a private stand up before the colonel or something? Say, look, man, you want me to go out there and that? Man, there's people dying out there. I ain't going out there. It don't happen that way. You see, brothers and sisters, we're good soldiers for Christ. We keep ourselves unspotted from the world. That's what the Bible says. We keep ourselves out of the affairs of the world. And many times this is where we get into problems hearing the Lord, is we're too entangled of the affairs of the world. Now we think, well, what are the affairs of the world? Some would say business. Some would say alcohol. Some would say tobacco. Some would say drugs. Some would say women. Some say, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. That man that was at home and fasting and praying could have been in the affairs of the world instead of being led by the Spirit of God. You see, Spirit-led, brothers and sisters, is walking in the Spirit of God where He says for you to walk. And this is what I call appeasing. And I've been guilty of it. God knows. Help me, Jesus. The Lord wants you to do something. And you don't want to do it. So, well, I'm going to appease you, Lord. I'm going to go over here and help the widows and the orphans. Man, I'm going to give some benevolence. I'm going to give some finance. I'm going to do this. That's not what he wants. All that's in vain. It doesn't move God. You're moved that way. The Bible said priests love gifts. You're moved that way. You know, somebody comes up and overwhelms you and you know they ain't right with God, but they, oh, I love you. Man, you're the man of the hour. Man, you're a great preacher. Oh, man, you're the Christian of all Christians. Boy, I've never heard things like that. And, you know, and man will just suck that up. But see, that doesn't move God. It doesn't move him. Boy, when you hear those things, flattery diggeth a pit. And boy, you'll find yourself in it. You see, brothers and sisters, many times people call themselves spirit-led, but they learn to manipulate the human spirit through provision, through benevolence, through kindness. A lot of times people think, oh, you know, I really felt the love of God, boy, and that guy, this and that, because he never brought the healing sword of the Spirit, never took and rended the veil of their flesh to take the impurities out of them that were causing them or going to put them in hell. Oh, but that's a great, but see, that's not a great man of God. A physician of the Lord is going to take and bring the knife. He's going to take and cut in with the sword of the Spirit, sharpening two-edged sword, dividing the soul and the spirit. Now, when we talk about a division between the soul and the spirit, this is what we're speaking about. It's the saving of your soul. And many times you're led by the soul instead of by the spirit. In your soul, you have transformated it into an illumination of light. You've transformated it into a mind of God. And then what happens is that you take and start following after the soul and its religious activities instead of following the Spirit. Many times a man that's led by the Spirit will do an action by the Spirit. And people say, man, that's not God. If he was Spirit-led, he would have prayed for that man when he came into the altars. When the Lord said, don't touch him, don't lay hands on him. Lay hands on no man suddenly. But see, people are, oh, but I know God is love. Oh, he put a homosexual out of the church. That's not the love of God. It is the love of God to do that, if it's led by the Spirit. But the Spirit of God might also say, open that door and bring him in. He needs to hear the Word and bring him into the house of God and indoctrinate him in the Word that he could turn away from his filth of his immorality. So you see, brothers and sisters, this being led by the Spirit, if you're going to look for the Word of God and say, well, this is the Word of God, when you're led by the Spirit, you will have Word for what you're doing. But again, as you've heard me say, the Word said there's a time of planting and a time of plucking up. There's a time of mourning, there's a time of joy or laughter. You see, there's a time to be born, and there's a time to die. You see, we got to understand the Word. We got the Word for all of these things. There's a time, brothers and sisters, for casting out, and there's a time for bringing in. All of these are led by the Spirit. Each one of these activities is Spirit-led, but you could do one of those that isn't Spirit-led if you're not listening to the still small voice of God. So when we start rending the veil between body, soul, and spirit, Father, Word, and Holy Ghost, we start discerning between the spirits. The Bible says that the dream of my head troubled me. And you think, oh man, it troubled me. It must have been the devil. But the Bible teaches that's the dream from God. But then there's a dream from a multitude of business. That's from man, from your own human experiences or your human spirit. You know, many times people sit and meditate on things that they want to do, and they think it on that. See, that's a multitude of business. Their mind is busy on their business. And it could be religion. You know, man, I'm going to go do this benevolence. I'm going to go take a load of clothes to Mexico. I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. And they're thinking and thinking. They have a dream about it. Say, oh, man, there's my vindication from God. And it was a dream from a multitude of business. You have these things on your mind. You dream about them. And you think now because it was a dream that you're vindicated to go do what you're going to do. You see, that dream world has got to be discerned just like the thought world's got to be discerned. The dream in my head that troubled me is from God. The dream from a multitude of business is from the human mind, and the filthy dreamer is from Satan. So we got to discern it. We got to discern that mind. We got to try the spirit and see if it would be of God. We got to discern the thoughts that are coming in our head. If the Bible again says to cast down every thought and vain imagination, that means there's somebody else's thoughts there. Because if we're casting something down, I surely don't want to cast down God's thoughts, do I? Sometimes I got to cast my thoughts down. Sometimes we want to blame it on the devil, and the devil ain't even nowhere around. It's just your old carnal mind. It's enmity with God. So we got to find out what the thoughts are and try the spirit. Sometimes, you know, the thought could ever seem so right. It never seems so good. But when we talk about discernment again, discerning the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Sometimes your thoughts could be motivated and be right, but the intent of your heart is all wrong. I deal with that a lot, dealing with people in the ministry outside of this. Their thoughts are right and what they're wanting to do is right, but the intent of their heart is wrong. Their motivations are wrong. Sometimes their motivations are proselyting. Sometimes their motivations are, many times their motivations are wrong. I'll still work with them. When I discern the spirit of it, I'll still work with them trying to overcome evil with good. Trying to show them that there truly is a place that could be led by the Spirit and walk in the Spirit of God. There's nothing more important to a Christian than to be led by the Spirit. Nothing. There's nothing more important. There's nothing more important to a Christian than learning the mind of God. There's nothing more important to learn to establish your thoughts. The Bible said He'll give you the fruit of your thoughts. He's going to give you the fruit of those spirits that are coming into your mind. Which one have you cast down and which one have you kept? I will tell you this, just as a man, if I took you into a foreign country and I took you over there and I dropped you off and you didn't know the language, it would take you some time to learn the language of that country that you could communicate and fellowship. When people come to be born again or come to God, they're being birthed just like a little baby's being birthed. I've had 4 children. I've got several grandchildren. I've been and seen you bring in some of your children into this world. I've yet to see one when you carried home from the hospital saying, hey, what's happening? Hey, let's go to church on Sunday. Well, I'll tell you what, man, you think you might stop over here at 31 Flavors Ice Cream and get one of them ice creams on the way home because this formula tastes nasty. I never heard one do that. You see, there's something that takes that little child and he's going to be listening and watching and he's going to be hearing, but he's not going to be understanding what he hears until he starts learning to put all that together and then he'll start learning words. Now, I know that some of you are under this mindset that when you're born again, that all of a sudden, pow, this Spirit just hits you, and you're full of this great Holy Ghost and Spirit of God, and you know everything and can do everything and go everywhere. I preach that doctrine, but I preach it with an understanding. If you are a man full of the Holy Ghost, then I'm going to see the action of the Holy Ghost in your life. And if I don't see that action of the Holy Ghost present in your life, some people will grow up great strength in the Lord in a year or two or 3 or 4 or 5. And I've seen others been in for 25 5 years and they still have not let the Spirit of God rule and reign in their life, and they're led by human reasoning and carnality, and it's enmity with God and it's death. So is there a number that we could put on it and say, oh yeah, I think if a guy's been in the church for 5 years, you know, he's capable to go preach the gospel, or 10 years or whatever your magic number is. There's some been in a church for 30, 40 years ain't fit to preach the gospel. So there's not a number here in your chronological thoughts to put with this. But I can say this, that naturally speaking, you'll send a man to school for 12 years to get where you could say he could function out here in the world as an adult. That he can go get his job over here at the convenience store, whatever he's going to do, you send him that. But for whatever reason, you know, a guy comes to church and he falls on his face and cries a little bit. And he says a sinner's prayer. Oh boy, you're called to preach the gospel. And that's why we got novices out there. And that's why we got so many winds of doctrines out there. And that's why the church is in the condition that it's in out there. When I say the church, not speaking about the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm speaking about the religious orders and institutions of America. If you would read the qualifications of a bishop or of a deacon, and I find very few bishops would line up even with the qualifications that a deacon would be required to be, but first and utmost, they need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Okay, we're still talking about being led by the Spirit this morning. We're talking about discernment, discerning the Spirit of God, discerning the spirit of the devil, discerning the spirit of man, discerning the mind of man, the mind of God, and the mind of the devil. Now we got three minds right there that we're speaking about, and all three of these minds are active in you. I had a man tell me one time, he said, look, he said, I make my decisions. I do what I want to do. I go where I want to do thus and thus, and considered himself a religious man. And I looked him right in the eye and I said, you know, that just proves that you are of the devil. You see, a saint of God does not do that. Let's go back to the militant thought for a moment. How about a military private, corporal, whatever, walks up to the general or the colonel or whatever, the captain, whatever he is. And he says, look, you want me to go over there? I don't see that. Let me tell you how I'm going to do it. I'm going to wait till dark and I'm going to slip around the backside of the mountain. I'm going to come over. It don't matter if you think you've got a better idea than what they do. They don't work that way. There is an order in the things of the military, and you are going to subject yourself and submit yourself to that order, and that's what you're going to do. And this is the ways of God. Again, when we said just a moment ago that the unseen things of this invisible world are revealed by the things which do appear, the military structure of our government is very much visible allegory to the invisible things of the Spirit of God. The Bible said, don't pierce each other through, don't break ranks. You see, there is a subjection and a submission and a surrenderance of your life. Don't you know when you go into the natural military that the first thing they're going to do is break your will? They're going to break that thing down and break that thing out of you and get you into a mind of a soldier. It don't matter what you want to do. It don't matter what you think. It don't matter what. Why do you think they lock them up there for a month or so when they first come in? Oh, but wait a minute, I got some old gal down in town waiting on me at 7:39. It don't matter, you ain't going. Oh, I want to write mama a letter. It don't matter, you ain't writing no letters. You ain't doing nothing, man. You're going to be right here and you're going to come into one mind. And that's the mind of a soldier. They call it boot camp. You ever been in boot camp before in the spirit? I've been there. I had a real drill instructor. And you know, naturally speaking, you go over and you see him right up in your face, boy. I had one of them in the spirit too, amen. Right in my face saying, boy, that's carnal mind. It'll kill you, put you out, destroy you. You're going to have to learn to get away from that. So now when we talk about discerning spirits, the toughest spirit, brothers and sisters, that I've ever dealt with in all my Christianity and all my walk is a religious spirit. Now you say a religious spirit, you say, well, a religious spirit would be a spirit of God. No. You see, the religious spirits in the day and hour of Jesus Christ are the ones that screamed out to crucify him. They're the ones that took him. They brought him before the Sanhedrin, and they brought him before, and the Sanhedrin had their meeting and stuff, said, man, we got to find this guy, and we're going to have to kill him and put him out. Shut that voice up. That's religious spirits. The same spirits are prominent today. The very spirits that were there within that meeting, now listen to me before you can understand exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying the very spirits, not one that's like it, not one that's similar to it, not one that's familiar to it, that very same spirit that was climbed up into the upper lintels of that day and hour, into the Sanhedrin, into the Pharisees, into the scribes, that very same spirit that climbed up into those men that put a vocal utterance that said, we need to put that man to death, we need to seek him out, we need to crucify him and shut him up, that those very same spirits are personified today in religious order. They're in our television evangelists, they're in our churches, and it's the spirit of the Antichrist. Now the thing is when we understand the devil, he came to do one thing, it's to kill, to steal, and destroy. Now again, it's the old fairy tale like they try to teach our children in Sunday school. If they teach you the devil's got a long tail and he's got little horns on his head and he carries a pitchfork, you're never going to see him that way. Listen to me, you will never see him that way. The thing is that he's climbed up into the upper lintels. He's in the government of America. He calls himself presidents, vice presidents, cabinet, senate, Congress. He's climbed up into the school systems. He calls himself principals and teachers. He's climbed himself up in the religious lintels, so to speak. He's a theologian. He's got a doctor's degree of divinity or theology. He carries a King James Bible. He wears a three-piece suit. This is where we find the devil at today. Now, you see, if you're so lukewarm or lascivious in your Christianity, oh, praise God, hallelujah, and you just go here and there and fellowship anywhere because they say the same name, Jesus, you're going to find yourself misled. You're going to find yourself in doctrines of devils. And you're going to find yourself being led by the Antichrist. Now, when we think of the Antichrist, the Bible said that if you don't believe that God is in the flesh, then you're Antichrist. I preach the kingdom of God is now. We went to the scriptures just the other night when the Lord Jesus was there. And he said, there's some of you right here looking upon me that will not see death and you'll see the kingdom of God. So I got to preach the kingdom of God or Jesus is a liar. And I know he's not a liar. The kingdom of God is now. The kingdom of God is at hand. We're walking in the kingdom. I'm not preaching the doctrine that, boy, someday I'm going to be a child of God or a son of God. The Bible said, now ye are the sons of God. We know that he has given us his spirit. We know that it was expedient that he went back to the Father that he could send back the Comforter, the Prince of Peace, the Holy Ghost. We know that we've received his Spirit when we're truly born of God and born again. When we receive his Spirit, then we're led of his Spirit. But this is something now we start exercising discernment, words of wisdom, words of knowledge. We start exercising then these in our life. The Bible said that he will give you the fruit of your thoughts. What are your thoughts on? Your thoughts are spirit. Your human spirit could be sitting around thinking like, oh, you know, hey, I want to frolic. I want a vacation. I want to do this. I want to do that. You'll get the fruit of that thought. He'll give it to you because that's where your mind at. That's where you are. But I want to be in the spirit with the Lord. If the Lord says, hey, take a day of rest, praise God. But if the Lord, just like a military man, there were some of these guys that went over to Iraq and they were supposed to be over there for 3 months and they were there for 12. Hey, but wait a minute, man, I'm due for some R&R, man. I've been here for months, man. You know, you need to let me go home, kick back with my family a little bit. They didn't have that choice. You're not your own. You don't make decisions of what you're going to do. You know, sometimes we set itineraries. We set an itinerary basically for every Christmas, try to go down to Mexico. But I still have to wait on the voice of the Lord say, yeah, it'd be permissible. I think it would be good to go ahead and do that. You know, we have an itinerary every July around the 4th to have a camp meeting down there in Georgia. You know, we do have some things set that way. And we pray and hope that the Lord will conduct and move and have his way in these things that we kind of set. But you know, we don't need to be setting things in many cases. We move out of the will of God. A minister that takes and studies in the scriptures and he reads the Bible and he takes and makes his notes and stuff and comes up and preaches, he's not a spirit-led man. I'm sorry to tell you that. Because his mind is on what he's put down together and it's religious, yes. And he'll put these things all together and write them down. And man, you'll learn something. It's good. But that's not spirit-led. You see, there could be somebody that's in that church that maybe didn't need to hear about whatever he's teaching on, that needed a direct voice of God, a direct message to them. You know, say that I went and done a great study over in the book of Psalms, you know, about the joy of the Lord. And man, I went right through Psalms and Proverbs, man, say, man, the joy of the Lord is such. And went right down through this thing. And I had a man sitting there and the Spirit of God was trying to speak to me and say, that man has got a gun underneath the seat of his car. And he's planning on sitting here in this service today. And he's planning on going out and driving around the corner and putting that gun in his mouth and blasting his brains all over the roof of his car. I think we better start orchestrating a service towards that brother, towards that man. And find the Spirit of God speaking to rebuke the spirit of death that is upon him that's going to take his life. And that probably wouldn't sound like a real spirit of joy dealing with that spirit. To take authority over a spirit. To run that spirit off. You see, brothers and sisters, it's important for you to be led by the Spirit. I remember speaking to you about a time I was in a church and the pastor of the church, he got up and made a plea for some financial help. I had a pocket full of money. They had us all stand up, and they had the ushers come out, and I started reaching my pocket, and the Lord said, no, don't give. And I'd always give. I was young in the Lord, and I liked to give. And I thought, man, this don't feel right. Why, God? Why are you telling me not to give? It looks like a needy cause. It looks like it's a good cause, this and that. And I said, and I'm sitting here questioning the Lord. I felt like there was all of a sudden, the lights went dim in this church and there was big spotlights on me and everybody was looking at me saying, wonder what's wrong with Brother Rob? Why ain't he giving? You ever seen the ushers come up and they kind of tarry by you and they got that little thing, they poke it out there at you and it's like, hey, dude, get your wallet out. And they're holding that thing and it's like he's tarried there. He's probably tarried there in front of me for maybe 3 seconds. But sometimes when you're in that kind of a mindset, it seems like about 30 minutes. I'm sure you've never been there, right? I remember sharing a story with you the time I was in a service and they had a call for being called in ministry. And I was running from it for years. I was busy as could be in the church. But boy, this guy's making a plea for being called into the ministry, man. It seemed like a 4-day ordeal. I'm telling you the truth. I mean, he tarried and he tarried and he tarried. It might have been 4 minutes, but it seemed like 4 days. And I finally, that spirit, old hard-headed spirit of mine, it finally broke and went into the altars. But the Lord told me no. And we're talking about being spirit-led, understand the voice of God. But see, my religious understanding saying, hey, that's a good cause. These people need financial help. But see, being led by the Spirit and being benevolent are two different things. Or giving's another thing. Everything we do needs to be led by the Spirit. Even though it's religious, even though it seems like the right thing to do, it needs to be led by the Spirit. Boy, I think this is a good cause. I give to it. And then all of a sudden I have the real cause in my face 5 minutes later. And if I was led by the Spirit, and then I may be standing there with nothing, I say, Lord, I should have heard from you. Let's take it to something a little more practical in your life, maybe. Sometimes we need things in life. It might be an automobile. You see, you should even be spirit-led when you purchase something. Pray about it and say, Lord, is this what you'd have for me? And sometimes because our desire of lust, I know every time we think of lust, we always put it into perversion. But lust is a strong desire. Man, that's the car I want. It's the color I like. Man, I like the sound of them pipes. Man, it's got nice looking chrome wheels on it. Man, that's just like the one I... And it's everything in your strong desire, your lust for that thing, and you purchase it. But see, if you were spirit-led, you may not have done that. You might have, if you were spirit-led, there's things that look so good to me. At times, naturally speaking, it's looked like just what I wanted and just like what I thought I had to have. But I'd get a check in my spirit. I think, well, what is this, Lord? Why are you checking me? You ever meet somebody that way and you go up and shake their hand? Hey, brother, how you doing? Hey, nice to meet you. Hey, I heard you've been preaching over here and there and this and that. But all of a sudden your spirit locks up. Oh, but this is a man of God. There's been thousands of people come to God under this brother. And man, he's got a church over here in Indonesia. And he's got one over here in Egypt. He's got one over here and going over there, man. But there's something in your spirit saying, whoa, there's something not right here. Have you ever had that happen? Maybe your discernment isn't where it should be, and you could maybe identify exactly what it is, and many times I can't, but I still go by that spirit that holds me back. I won't be rude maybe to the individual. I might even try to help or to see, but I'm watching. I'm staying back into the perspective, and it will come to a manifestation, and you will see what that spirit is and what it is of. If you just watch. But sometimes we get ourselves too quickly involved and we find ourselves going along in involvement and then we find out what it is. And many times the Lord will show you by discernment exactly what the Spirit is and He still tells you to get involved because you're there to win that man, that's a preacher, into the things of God and to be really, truly be led by the Spirit of God. So when we get into the leading of the Spirit and listening to the voice of the Lord, back to the little story where the Lord told me no. And then after it was all said and done, the offering was all taken, and the Lord started speaking to me clearly. He said, I want to know that you are spirit-led in your giving. And He said, sometimes because there is a need that arises, you just move right into it. See, I was evangelizing. I was traveling. I was going into a lot of churches. And there had been times I had supported things I had no business supporting. And when we get into being spirit-led, it doesn't mean that the things that you're not supporting are not always worthy, but then yet there are times that you could support things and come down the judgments of God on your head and think you're doing something for the Lord. So many times you could be giving to something and think you're doing it as unto the Lord, and God's going to bless you and you bring judgment on you. You see the importance of being Spirit-led? Again, I could say that I could go home and pray and fast for 2 or 3 days and bring the judgments of God down on my head. The little story I just mentioned to you about where I was in a church and the guy's pleading for an altar call for the ones that are called into the mission field and into the ministry. I'm sitting in the back of that church, and he pleaded and pleaded and pleaded. I could have said, but you know what, Lord, I'm busy. I've been working in churches. I was a bus pastor, they called it, or a bus minister. Bringing children, I was a children's chaplain. I was a men's ministry director. I was busy. I was spending more hours of time in the ministry than my pastor was. I was active. But see, that's not what God was looking for. See, I was so busy trying to do the things that I could find time to do and still work and hold a job, but I could do this in my timing. Me set my mind to it and said, well, today I'm going to go knock on doors for God. Oh, today I'm going to go over and be a Sunday school superintendent. Or today I'm going to do this. And I was able to orchestrate my time and make it work. And I was doing religious things, being led in my timing. And I made my schedule fit. That's not a Spirit-led man. And that's not what God wanted in my life. You see, a lot of those things didn't come into a fine-tuning in my life until I came under a great man of God, Brother Pike. I'd been working in the ministry and been preaching and doing things. But the thing is I came there and this was a man of God that was saying, wait a minute, this ain't the way we do things. When he sent me up here to start a church, he said, Brother Rob, I know you know how to build churches. I was trained with the Assemblies of God and some other churches how to build churches, how to go into an area and found and start a church. He said, but you know, that's not the way we do it. He said, that's not the way we do it. So you see, there's a difference, brothers and sisters, than doing things by the Spirit. He said, the Bible teaches that let the Spirit add whatsoever he will. And sometimes we just want to bring them all in. That's not being added by the Spirit. Oh man, that's a great church, man. It's got 500 people. They had nothing last year. Now they got 500. Who cares about the numbers? I could take you, and I've got the opportunities to go in and work in the homes. I was working in a doctor's home up here in the north side of town, and his wife was the secretary of this church, and she told me the amount of money coming into this church up here is one of the big churches where all the doctors and lawyers go. You know, the preachers are called of God because they preach against sin, but evidently they're not there. And their cabinets are full of whiskey and everything else. You know, we can't always make that the preacher's fault, but many times, you know, if they're comfortable there, if you're going to have whiskey in your house, you're going to probably be uncomfortable sitting in this church. Because you're going to hear about it and you're going to know that you're of the devil. Now the thing is, the big numbers don't mean anything, brothers and sisters. How many did Jesus have? You say 12. And one of them was the devil. And where was they at when the going got tough? Peter, this one that we were just speaking about that learned to hear by the Spirit of God and spoke it out. When he was standing right there before him, he said, man, I don't know this man. And he started cursing, for they would vindicate that he's not one of them, because he surely couldn't be of that man because he's cursing. So where were they at? Brothers and sisters, when you're in the Spirit and you're walking in the Spirit and led by the Spirit, God will lead you. He'll guide you. He'll strengthen you. And he'll make a way when there appears to be no way. It's great to have a brotherhood that'll get in the mind of God. You can say, I'm a brother of Christian Temple Church. You know, I'm part of this family of God. But you see, brothers and sisters, that isn't because you go here. You can go to this church and never be numbered as a true brother in this church. Because to be a brother in this church, you got to be in the Spirit of the brotherhood. Just because you're fellowship in a place doesn't make you of it. And when a man's walking in the Spirit and he's led by the Spirit, then there's fellowship in the Spirit. They don't pierce each other through, nor do they break ranks. And we find a unity in the Spirit, and we find a strength in the Spirit. So many times we look for strength in the flesh. We got to rend the veil of that. Sometimes we look for strength in numbers. Most of our churches have a board on the back of the wall, and it says, you know, we had 120 today. You know, we had 130 today. They're doing the same mistake that David of old made. And the Lord reproved him and rebuked him for trying to number his strength. If we start saying, well, you know, if we have 400 people, we could do this. We have 500 people, we could do this. If we had 1,000 people, we could do this. Man, you'll limit yourself and you'll be so carnally led and naturally business-minded led. And this is why I say most of our churches have deacons in it that are businessmen. They're the ones that they raise up and put them into leaders of the churches because they're money makers and they support the churches. So boy, they make them and they run the church like a business. You'll never do nothing for God or win a soul running a church like a business. The way God does things is to astound the wise. I had a lot of ability when I came to Little Bethlehem. And I'd see Brother George take off on some exploits. And I had a mind of making and doing things and getting things done. I'd go, why is he going that way? It was to confound this carnal mind. You understand what I'm saying? And it was, it was a spirit-led man, and he was doing things that would purposely look wrong to see if I would submit to it and learn to be following after the Spirit and not by my own thoughts. One of the first projects or earlier projects I'd done was remodeling his kitchen. I'm giving my time. I wasn't on no payroll. And I go in there and I had the kitchen all done. He says, you know, what would you think the refrigerator would look like over here? Now the carnal mind's looking at it and say, man, that was a lot of work to build that built-in refrigerator cabinet on that wall right there. There was a lot of time and effort, man. And I gave my time and my finances and my strength and my abilities, my son put that refrigerator on that wall. And you want to know what it looks like over on this wall? Now some would sit back with an evil, corrupt, wretched, filthy mind that I deal with and I hate it. They sit back, well, man, that's a waste of money. Man, if that man was led by the Spirit, this, that, man, that's nothing. But see, he was a spirit man that was trying to bring me under subjection to being led by the Spirit of God. If I can't follow a preacher, I can't follow God. You think that you're following the Spirit of God and in tune to the Spirit of God? And if you cannot follow man that you can't see, you will never follow a God that you cannot see. Thus saith the Lord. I'm telling you, there's an order in the things of God. For you to start walking in the Spirit and God leading you, you are first and foremost going to learn to be led by a man. Remember, Jesus was a man. That's not a popular doctrine, but I had to come to that understanding. I didn't war with him. When he said it, I said, well, sure, brother. I said, you know, I think it would probably look good over there. And guess what I did? I moved it over there. I didn't understand what was going on, actually, but I've done the 3 times and I didn't do it neglected, grudgingly or whatever, because I was getting fellowship in the Spirit. I was remodeling a kitchen and he was remodeling a man. You understand what I'm saying? He took that opportunity. And he's thinking, well, you know, this is getting pretty close done. This guy's needing a lot of work. Maybe we better move that refrigerator from over there to over here. Truthfully, it probably needed about 15 times moved around. His wife was real happy with it the first time. Didn't like it at all the second time. So now we're talking about spirit-led. If you don't think that this Spirit of God is going to lead you into things that your flesh is going to scream out against, then you're not spirit-led. When you're walking in the Spirit, led by the Spirit, there is one that's enmity with it, and that's the carnal mind of death. The carnal mind happens to be your thoughts, your ways, and the way you perceive and the way you see it. And it is going to be warring against the mind of Christ every time. Now, when we go through the transformation of mind and come into that mind, then we're bringing through a consciousness, the invisible mind of God, into a visible mind of humanity that could be seen the attributes of God. The same thing Jesus done. Jesus, when he brought the invisible things of God into a personification, or the invisible Spirit of the Father, and he let it dwell with him in the fullness. Now it dwells in part in us, but we're supposed to press into the fullness. He didn't have that corrupt blood seed that he came through, and you do. But then yet when you're born again, you're born into an incorruption. You're born of that incorruptible seed, and you're born of the Spirit. See, when you're born again, that's what you're born again into, the Spirit. You're not born again in your natural mind that you could be God and you do what you want and rule where you want, go where you want and do what you want. We're talking about being Spirit-led. We're talking about when you are birthed into the Spirit, you're led by the Spirit, following after the Spirit, and you're subjected yourself to God. And if you think that only God is going to speak the smooth road for you, then go back and look at the firstborn of many brother and look at your older brother Jesus and look at the road that he walked on. He was a man acquainted with grief and suffering. Well, brother, I don't know if I like your Christianity. It don't sound like what I want. I like just to go to church and say, oh, praise God, you know, Jesus died for you, shed his blood for you, you know, hallelujah. Take up a little offering and go home. See, that doesn't work here. That's not what we're looking for. You see, we want to be Spirit-led. We want to be sons of God. He's given us power to, now we are the sons of God. He's infilled us with his Spirit. We got to walk, and there's an enemy of God, and that's you. I know I brought this thing out and talked about preachers that have fallen away and all these different things and my own weaknesses and failures, but you are the enemy of God. Quit trying to save him. You got to kill him. The one must die that the other could live, according to the Scriptures. It's the saving of the soul, not of your body. And you want to take everything to your flesh and everything to the natural. And you want this religious world just to bring everything to you And that's not the religion or the spirit that I'm speaking about. This is a sacrificial life, and we got to give our life and lay our life down. That's what the Bible teaches. And I'll tell you what, it's an awesome thing when you could really come into being spirit-led. Well, it sounds like it's all doom and despair and suffering and this and that. But I'll tell you what, he equips you with a mind to go through those things, a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. And he gives you a peace as you walk through the valley of the shadow of the death, that he gives you a peace when 1,000 fall at your right or 10,000 at your left, and you're going right through because you are a man of valor, a man of conqueror, because you're more than a conqueror. You're full of the Holy Ghost. You see, brothers and sisters, he's made you that way. So you can't go through that as a man. That's why the man must die, and you go through it in the spirit. And when you're in the spirit, those things do not have any effect. You see, Jesus knew he was going to be slaughtered. He told him about it. Told him what was going to come. What about you? He told us what's going to come about us. This is what it says in my Bible. I don't know what Bible you're reading, but it said they hated him first, speaking of Jesus. And it said that if he's in you and you're full of his spirit, it said they're going to hate you too. But everybody wants this religion, and oh, you know, we're in a day of tolerance. Oh, we don't want to make nobody upset, and oh, we love everybody. And they're sitting in churches with a bunch of faggots and queers. Is that harsh terminology? Preachers ain't supposed to say, I know we're supposed to just smooth everything over. You know, the proper word is gay. You know, nah, the proper word ain't gay. Gay means happy, and there ain't no happiness in going to hell. I don't mind calling them what they are. If that offends you, I'm sorry. I could have said sodomite. Or homosexual. You know, queer, they are queer. And a faggot offends you. Do you know what a faggot is? Has anybody ever looked up the definition of that? There is a faggot of sticks. They used to call a cigarette a faggot, something that burns. A faggot is, one of the definitions of it is the wrought iron that is ready to go into the fire, to be twisted. Now, when you take this square stock wrought iron, and they call it a faggot, and it's going to go into the fire and twist it. Well, if you want to talk about a homosexual, that's where it's made to go, is into the fire, and it is something that's twisted. So I think it's a perfect example. You understand that? And something that's queer, something that's really odd. And that's something real odd when a man leaves his own natural, according to the word in Romans again, and over in the first chapter, it's found there with that one talking about the invisible things. When they leave their natural affections and go one after another, it's an abomination in the eyes of God. And I think the preachers need to quit submitting to it and being tolerant in this day and hour. It's going to be the thing to bring the judgments of a living God down on this country. If he thought that Sodom and Gomorrah needed the judgment of the fire and the brimstone, what do you think he's going to think about this day and hour? It's going to be no different, brothers and sisters. And there won't be one stone standing on top of another. Brothers and sisters, we didn't even scratch the surface this morning on speaking and being led by the Spirit. I've been preaching in this church up here, I guess, over 10 years and haven't scratched the surface of a Spirit-led life. Couldn't speak about it enough. If could speak about it every service and conduct every service into being Spirit-led, it wouldn't be enough. You see, every activity and everything that a man does is led by a spirit. But what spirit is it of? If you're sitting in a service and all of a sudden you feel pressed in necessity to go to the restroom, that's your human spirit that understands your bodily functions, and it starts pressing you, saying, hey, you have to go to the restroom. Your human spirit, sometimes when that beast down in there and that belly starts growling out, you ever heard it going, rrr? It infects your imagination. Man, all of a sudden you could smell that old burger. You could smell it. And all of a sudden, man, all of a sudden it's in your mind and it's in your thoughts, because that old human spirit's saying, hey, hunger. Hey, I'm hungry. You know, I'm going to have to close quick because I just turned the whole thoughts of the congregation. But there's a time that the Spirit of God says to tell that spirit to shut up, that human spirit. Shut your mouth. You're not running the camp. You're not going to eat today. Shut your mouth. There's times that I'm tired and want to sleep, and the Spirit of the Lord wants to talk. You know, hey, I'll talk to you tomorrow. Let me tell you something. If you was been waiting for weeks for an appointment with the president, and he says, well, look, I can see you at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Well, I can't do it tomorrow. I guarantee you, you're going to make some time. That's the way I think about my commander-in-chief, my king of kings and lord of lords. When he wants to talk, I'm not going to reason with him. Say, man, I'm tired. And for some reason, he likes to talk to me when I'm tired, because then I can get out of the way because I'm in weakness. So when we start thinking about spirits, looking for a place to close here, there's spirits that are making every time you see a man move, every time you see him speak, every time you see him do anything, it is an invisible spirit that is dwelling within his tabernacle that's making him do that. When we do an action as unto the Lord, the glory goes to God, because it's the Spirit of God moving within us and doing the good deeds. If there's any good thing done, the glory goes to God. So if there's any bad thing done, then the glory would go to the devil, you might say. And we could say that. But sometimes we got to differentiate and find this human spirit that's laying there within the soul realm of the second heaven. Now, I know we're speaking about spirits, and spirits depart from the spirit world, and they'll come into a natural world and into a soulish world. First heaven, second heaven, and third heaven. But many times, brothers and sisters, there's exploits that are going that we would want to contribute to God, and they're not contributed to God, but they're in the soulish realm of religion. That's the second heaven. That's the upper lintel that he's climbed up into. He can't get into the third because he was cast out of the third, but he was cast into the earth, and he'll climb up into the soul. That's an illumination realm. That's where the continual warfare is at. When we think about being caught away in the spirit, we condescend to men of a less estate. That comes back into the second heaven. We're in a warfare and a travail in the second heaven. And the thing is to redeem the body or to the purchase that, the redemption, it's already purchased, but it's to redeem that thing back. So this is all taking place in the second heavenly realm. Many of the religious exploits are done not by spirit-led, but by soul-led. Again, I could remember ministering to you years ago about a soul realm religion. Now, when you've been in darkness of the natural carnal world and you come into the soulish religion, there's an illumination there. You see, when you think of the soul realm or the second heaven or the wilderness realm, when they came out of Egypt, man, they saw some awesome things out there in the wilderness. But that isn't what God had in store for them. He had in store for them to go on into Canaan. But out there in the wilderness realm, they saw miracles. They saw manna coming down and feeding them every day. Life-giving water coming out of a rock to give them sustained life as they was there. You know, they saw miracles. And people get in the soul realm and they see miracles and the rain's coming on the just and the unjust in the soulish realm. And they think, man, I am in the spirit. Hallelujah. This is the Lord's day. And they never entered through that door open in heaven into the third heaven, but they came through the door into the second. There's a difference. Most definitely a difference. I deal with people continually that are walking in a second heavenly perspective I've never seen into the third heaven because they're still alive. You see, to get into that third heaven, there has to be a mortification and a death. And it's painful, and sometimes you resist it and you fight against it. But I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to have it my way. I'm going to go where I want to go. I'm religious. I don't need no preacher to tell me where to walk or where to go. I'm spiritual, and I'm led by the Spirit, and they're walking in the soul. That doesn't offend me, brothers and sisters. I'm not trying to take nobody's sovereignty away from them. That doesn't offend me whatsoever. Only one that hurts is them. When they could be a great attribute and do greater exploits for God if they would learn that the only way they'll ever do anything for God is through submission. It's God's way, I'm sorry. But man hates that. He resists that. It fights against that. It looks for preeminence, popularity, fame, pride. Man, those are the things of man. They're not hard to see. But we got to kill that out. It's Brother Rob's enemy. It's your enemy. You know, you think I sit up here and talk to you about those things and just hammer down? These are things I deal with. It's a continued warfare. You see, Rob Coons wants to resurrect every day, but I got to keep him killed out and do away with him. Just as Peter was rebuked. Get you behind me, Satan. Don't you think the Lord deals with me that way? But Lord, I don't want to do that. Get you behind me, Satan. Shut your mouth, boy. I didn't ask if you wanted to. Get up out of bed and go do it. Oh, does your God talk to you that way? Sure he does. If you ain't ever heard him talk to you that way, you ain't heard him then. If your God only does what you want him to do, you're serving a different Jesus than I'm serving. I'm just trying to bring you into reality what being spirit-led is. Yes, it's joy unspeakable and it's full of glory when you're led by the Spirit. When they're nailing your hand up to a cross, you say, Lord, forgive them. They know not what they do. And it's full of glory. It's the joy of the Lord because you're doing it as unto him. That's what the disciples came to when they was in the jail. And they said, man, we're going to take you out and beat you for his name's sake. And they're rejoicing in the Lord. I can see them guys, man, them jailers say, you know, I've seen a lot of things. But boy, this isn't nothing like I've ever seen. Man, these guys aren't fighting against us. We're not having to drag them out here in chains. Man, they're running out there to be whooped and beaten for the name of the Lord. You see, there's the joy of the Lord. And you say, man, I don't see that. It's because you're not in the Spirit. When you're in the Spirit, you see things differently. You don't look at the things of despair that are in life. You look at it as winning souls. You know, Lord, you put me in this position to be crucified that other men could be drawn unto you. Lord, you put me in this position that they could hate me and abuse me and speak all manner of evil, for I could show the attributes of the invisible God and they could see it and understand. Well, I'm swearing to my own hurt. I'm suffering the wrong. I'm doing good to them that despitefully use me. When they ask of this, you know, I give them another. When they want me to go a mile, I go two. You see, now we're talking about being led by the Spirit. And it's always going to be something when a man is led by the Spirit, there's going to be an enemy laying there within the mind of his carnality, the mind of the man. So now when you start having thoughts come to you, discern what thought it is. Why do I want to do this? Is this you, Lord? Or is this my desire? Remember I told you the man had come to the church, he said, you know, I had a vision and a dream. And in the dream it said I was supposed to come to this church. And the Lord spoke to me right before the words was out of his mouth. And said a dream led him in and a dream will lead him out. I'm not led by dreams. I'm not led by allegories. People come and say, well, man, I'm going to have a meeting over here because, you know, the allegory of thus and thus, and it has to do with this town and has to do with that, and it's this time of year. That's not being led by the Spirit. That's following after types and shadows. I'm not seeing through a glass darkly. I'm led by the Spirit of God and go where the Spirit of the Lord says. And yeah, there will be allegories and revelations in that. But you know, I used to start teaching in this church people to watch allegories, and this is what this means, and this types out as this, and this is typical of that, and this color means that, and this car means that. And I saw people messing up their whole life following after allegories. I said, you know what? This isn't good. They need to be taught to be led by the Spirit, and in the revelation of the Lord will teach them to understand allegories. And I had to back off on it. You see, and man, I'll tell you what, I find people that are so led by allegories and this mean and that mean that, and I don't find the Spirit of God there. That's scary to me. If you got faith, you'll have works, but you can have works and not have faith. Do you understand that? You can have works and be busy as could be doing something which you think's for God and not have faith, but you have works. But when you have faith, you will have works. You can't have faith and sit around idle and tell me that you've got faith in God. I'll show you my faith by my works. So you see the difference there? You can have revelation and you will have allegories, types and shadows. But you can have types and shadows and not have revelation. Revelation is a revealing of the Spirit. There's a difference. Brother George made a statement to me not many days before he passed. He said, I put myself in a prison by teaching the people allegories. That's what he said. He said, I put myself in a prison. He went on to make a statement. He said, I don't wear sunglasses because people look at me because the allegories talk. And said, if you're wearing sunglasses, you're seeing through a glass darkly. And he said, these rays or whatever had burned his eyes out. And he was about half blind when he went off the scene. You see, brothers and sisters, we have to understand some of these things of allegories, but we're not led by types and shadows. We're not led by allegories. They will lead you into destruction, and they'll lead you into hell. If you want to find yourself walking in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, you are led by the Spirit of God, not by dreams. See, I'm not doing away with dreams now. Listen to me. The Bible teaches dreams. I teach dreams. I spent a lot of time teaching dreams and interpretation of dreams. And then I had people following after dreams. I'm not followed and led by dreams. I'm led by the Spirit. If a dream comes, it'll confirm sometimes what the Spirit is telling me and speaking to me and showing me to do. If you're led by allegories, you will be led astray. Speaking on discernment, it's the same way. If you think you got discernment, you can look at a man or woman, they come in church and say, man, well, I discern that guy got a spirit on him today. That's not how it works. I'm sorry. That's intellectual discernment. You might have a man that's down and distraught. I'm sure Jesus, when he came around, wasn't jumping rope and whistling and things like that. He was a man acquainted with grief and sorrows. You say, man, I discern, man, he just ain't got no victory in his life. Well, you would have ever missed him. He was all victory. You see, sometimes you think discernment is by looking at the countenance of an individual. And if you're going in that kind of discernment, you're going to find yourself martyred because they smile and I love you. As Brother George said, he could feel the cold knife slipping into his spine. And they're smiling, and I love you, I'll help you, I'll do anything for you. But their intents of their heart, their thoughts might be right when they're saying that, but the intents of their heart is wrong. They got other motivations. The Bible said to try the Spirit and see if it would be of God. You need to try the Spirit of what's making you do what you want to do and identify it. You know, this is really my thought. Have you done that in your own life? You know, I'm going to go do this because this is what I want to do. Really challenge what your activities are and the things that you're doing. Why am I doing this? Sometimes we do things because we have a fear of God. Sometimes we do things because we want to do them. Sometimes we do things because we don't want the judgments of God or the chastening of the Lord on us. So there's a lot of things that motivate what our daily activities are. But you know, when we're led by love and by the Spirit, it was love again of the brutality that took place on the cross of Calvary was the love of God. You see, that was the perfect will of God for Jesus to go to the cross of Calvary and to be brutalized beyond recognition and marred beyond recognition, to be nailed to that cross. That was the will of God. But he was led by love there. And when you're led by the Spirit of God, his Spirit is love. And when you're led into those things, you will walk in love doing the very things. And the Bible said that when you are Spirit-led, that his commandments, and when you love the Lord, that his commandments are not grievous to you. When you're grieved about doing the things of God, it must mean that the love of God is lacking there. Because when you have the love of God, they're not grievous to you. When you have his Spirit, they're not grievous to you. You're saying, Lord, you know what's best. You know what is right. And this is where ye walk. So brothers and sisters, don't walk where you want to walk. Don't go where you want to go. Be led by the Spirit. There's people that would be sitting in this church today if they were led by the Spirit that have come through here. But they didn't like what the Spirit said to them. They don't like the expression of the Spirit and what the Spirit says. So they chose not to be led by the Spirit, but be led after their own will, their own carnality, which is death and enmity with God. You see, there's spirits that are leading everybody. Remember, spirits are invisible, but when they come into a personification or into you, you see, if a spirit comes into you of the devil and makes you do things that you normally wouldn't do, you say, well, you're possessed of the devil. Well, there's some differentiation on possession. When he gets into your spirit, then you're one with him, you're cut off from God, twice dead, plucked up from the roots, and there's no life. But a person could have these demon spirits come into that soulless realm where the warfare is and try to take your mind captive. The end of the matter of that is death. But right now in the dispensation of grace, while the blood's on the mercy seat, it is a travail and a warfare. And what you have to do is you're going to have to start learning to fight him in those upper lintels, up into the mind, up into the thoughts. So when you see somebody do something good, you give the glory unto the Lord in their life, the invisible Spirit of the Father, as manifest within their life. The same Spirit that was in Christ Jesus that raised him up from the dead is dwelling within your mortal bodies. That's what the Bible teaches us now. So when you see something good, the glory goes unto God. Now what we do is when we find this invisible spirits manifesting in you, you're a glove. You're the clothing, so to speak, the tabernacle of these dwelling places of the spirits. Praise God and let it be the temple of the living God. Let it be the temple of a living God that you have got his Spirit dwelling within you. If you're just doing what you want to do, go where you want to go and do all the things that you want to do, then you're just carnal, it's natural, and you're being led by the devil. And you're just going to find yourself in hell. You might be religious on your way, but that's where you'll be. And I say that with all love and respect. When Jesus looked at Peter and said, "Get you behind me, Satan," has he ever said that to you? If he's never said that to you, you're not listening to him. If he said that to Peter, this was probably one that was as close to him as anybody. He took him over on the Mount of Transfiguration with him. And he said, "Get you behind me, Satan." And if you've never heard the Lord say that to you, I'm going to tell you to listen closely. You are not listening to the Spirit of God. Because Satan is going to come through your human reasoning and your carnality. And I'm telling you that you all deal with that. All men's hearts are fashioned alike. You're just like Peter. You're going to have to rend the veil between the Lord and the Christ, between the revelation of the Lord and between the revealing of man and his strength, his popularity, his pride, his understanding, his Bible retention, his religious activities, his religious doings, and all that. And you're going to have to rend the veil between that and the Christ. Sometimes we're weighed in the balances and we're weighing them wrong. The Bible said they was weighed in the balance and found lacking. And sometimes we look in the balances and we look at this, we say, "Oh yeah, but man, I was in church. Man, I gave my tithes. Man, I gave my offerings. And man, I done this and done that." That's not the way the scales work. That's just your reasonable service. But the Bible says even giving your life as a living sacrifice is what your reasonable service is. So you could do all those other motions but not give your life? You see, when you give your life, that means all of it. He's not happy with part of it. You remember when we say we're the bride of Christ? And I've used this as an allegory. I'm still looking for a place to close. And I said that as the bride of Christ, that we're going to be married unto him. But we say, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to marry you and I'm going to be your bride." But that's going to be on Wednesday. I think church starts at 7. It's going to be Friday night, 7 o'clock. I'll be right on time, Lord. And Sunday morning, he says, "I don't want nothing to do with you." That's not the marriage we're talking about. How about you when you're looking for a wife, man? You're going to get one and say, "Oh, yes, I love you. Oh, man, I like, you know, these provisions that you're giving me. I like the new car and I like this. But, you know, I'm going to be your wife on Wednesday and Sundays. But, you know, on Thursdays, I'm going to go over to Freddie's house. And on Tuesdays, I'm going to be over at Jimmy's house or whatever." Man, you know, nobody wants no wife like that. There's some of them who have them like that. But they're just as filthy and corrupt to keep them when they're that way. That's not what the Lord has in mind. You see, he wants you as a living sacrifice. He wants you alive. He wants you to be alive and about his business and doing the exploits that are pleasing unto him. He's jealous over you. He don't want to share you with the world. He's jealous over you. Brothers and sisters, this is where we got to come in God. So when you're led by the Spirit, don't be led by your desires, your wants, your geographical locations, or this and that. You know, if you're going to just live where you want to live because you like it here or like it there, you see, that's not led by the Spirit. You are where the Spirit of God places you and puts you and demands you to be. And sometimes it's not where you want to be. It's where he wants you to be, and you submit to that. And that should be on a daily basis. Sometimes we do things that we don't want to do because we're led by the Spirit. Because we know that it's going to bring problems and complications to us as man. And they're going to hate us. They're going to rightly take advantage of us and despise us. But he said, no, that's what I want you to do, to show the love of God. And you may win a soul in doing that, but one thing for sure, when they stand before the judgment council of the living God, that they'll stand there. And he said, don't you remember I sent brother such and such over there? I sent this man of God, or I sent this brother in this church that was led by the Spirit of God, and he suffered the wrong and swore his own hurt, went to your home and you slammed the door in his face, or you cursed him out, or done this, that. That was me that you done that. What you do to the least of these, my brethren, is what you do unto me, is what the Bible says. You see, and so oftentimes we think we're spiritual and we slam the door in the Lord's face. Sometimes we think we're so spiritual and we crucify the Lord Jesus Christ afresh. Sometimes we think we're so Spirit-led and we're rejecting and denying him and strengthening the enemy. Brothers and sisters, it's a sensitive walk in the Spirit. Study to be quiet. The Bible teaches us that. Take heed to the things that you hear, lest at any time you'd let those things slip. Examine yourself and see if you be in the faith. This is what the Bible says. So to be Spirit-led, don't try to make your human spirit religious and then follow after your human spirit. And that's what many people call Spirit-led. They take their human spirit and make it religious and godly. It don't curse, it don't cuss, it don't lie, it don't cheat, but it's will worship. The Spirit leading is the Spirit of Christ that's leading you and guiding you and motivating you. It's different. So many times when your religious human spirit has just become religious, that's the religious spirits I'm speaking about, and it's become one with Satan, and Satan is a deceiver. He quotes the word like we read here. He'll tell you the Bible this, and boy, this is what you need to do, and it'll bring admiration to you. When you find something bringing to yourself that admiration and that esteeming, then you know that Satan has climbed up in the upper lintels, and you're where you don't need to be. All glory, all honor, and all praise goes unto our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, because we're nothing outside of him. We know nothing outside of him. If we have any kind of an understanding, any kind of knowing, it comes from Christ, because we have an unction to know all things. If there's anything good in you or in I, the glory goes to the living God, because at your very best, you're as filthy rags. So all glory, all honor goes unto the Lord. Let's stand together. I appreciate y'all coming out this morning.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters at Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come and worship with us. Our services are on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Wednesday night at 7 p.m., and we also have a Friday night service at 7 p.m. We are located at 304 Green Oak Drive, just off Highway 62 in Archdale. Thanks again, and may God richly bless you.